kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does, and if you hear my voice at this time, you know that the weekend has begun. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, because 4 hours are not enough, and we are doing this now 8 days a week. And thank you for that being part of this. The numbers continue to go up. We're going to address that in a couple minutes. And we are, as always, in the air everywhere, more than ever now, on the podcast, the vast power and the global footprint, easy for me to say, of the podcast there. As it's heard every week, three times a week. It started out as once a week and then morphed into a monstrosity. And as always, joined for better or worse by the man affectionately known as Gagon, David Gascon, who's right over there.
A happy weekend to you, Ben Maller. I think it's been a long time since we have... We've gotten together, but the day after, you and Rob Parker, Robert Guerra, myself, it's nice to decompress a little bit from the day that was.
Radio history, clearly, and I think we should actually start with this, because I have gotten nothing but vitriol from the Maller Militia. They want me to never, ever do anything other than the show. And if I do anything other than the show, then this becomes problematic. I try to explain to people... that, listen, I got a phone call. I was asked to do this. I love Rob. I'm a big fan. I wanted to do it, and he wanted me to do it. Management wanted me to do it. And so, and then they're like, well, you should still have done your show last night. You still should have been in and done the show. My argument was like, yeah, I would have done it. I've done a ton of radio. When I worked at EEI, I was doing like a three-hour show there and a four-hour show at Fox, so it was like 7 hours. I only had an hour break, so I would totally do it. But that was on different radio stations. Like, this is the same radio. I was trying to explain to people like the concept of like if you have one voice for 7 hours out of 11, management doesn't normally want that, because they want different voices on. That's usually how that works.
Yes, a little bit different, especially because. You know, I still get random texts from you like at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. In fact, I had to go back through my phone on that date on Thursday. And yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is he still doing awake? Go to bed. Yeah,
no, I got a certain routine. I got a certain schedule. I got to keep my schedule. Yeah. And but yeah, I'm going to do these other day parts. But I am happy to report. I don't know if you've done this. I think we talked about this a while ago. But I have done the radio cycle. Very few people in radio have done the radio cycle. I've done the radio cycle. Now, what is the radio cycle? Yes. Now, first of all, you gotta really be messed up in the head to do it. That's the first thing. Second thing is, it's a round the clock, spanning the clock. I have been on over my career every hour of the day, every day part, from like morning drive, which I've only done briefly, middays, which I did a little while. I was for a couple of years. I did middays. Afternoon drive, I've done some shows on afternoon drive. Evenings, late nights, and then overnights. So I've done the full radio cycle. Now, I know, Gascon, you're not really into that. You don't. You're pretty bougie. You like your sleep. You like your routine. So you probably haven't done the radio, the full radio cycle, because you're someone that likes to have daytime shifts. You like the daytime radio.
Well,
stuff.
No, I've never hosted around the cycle. In fact, I've never hosted on any cycle, so that's correct.
Are you complaining about that? Why don't you make that change? Create your own reality. How about that?
It's a little bit of a logjam here, and I don't think that I'd have that opportunity to do that. I don't know.
That's a defeatist attitude.
Well,
loser's mentality, by guess.
I think
right
you'd
there.
Agree with me that everyone needs to have an opportunity to swing the stick, but that doesn't come without an advocate. So I think we should turn that around on you and be like, hey, you know what? I think this guy deserves to have a shot. And, you know, I'd like to welcome up the microphone to my right or to my left, and let's give this a dance.
Well, I would be really open for you getting a shot if you had more empowering beliefs. You know, that if you try to create your own reality and make life happen for you. I one of my pet peeves is people that have the victim mentality and you're out to get me. And it sounds like you have that. It sounds like you're letting obstacles hold you back.
Well, I don't think
it's too hard. It's too difficult. There's too many people. Oh my God.
I don't think it's any of that. I think you would.
Sounds like it to me.
I think you would agree with me here that that working here and working with you, like those are things that I'm not publicly or privately acknowledged for doing, right? I think that you can attest to that. So
what are you referencing here? What are you getting at here?
I mean, it's the pro bono work. We've discussed this, and I'm not.
Well, yeah, but you're free to leave whenever you want. I mean, you're open to if you're not happy here, if we feel like you're not being treated properly, and you feel like this is an obstacle you cannot overcome, and you're free to resign from your position here. I'm sure there's 7,000 other people out there would love to do this.
Well, I don't think those 7,000 people would want to do that, to be fair. Do you?
I get email every day from people saying, get rid of Gascon, bring somebody else in here. And that's what the people are saying. So I'm not listening to them. I'm ignoring them. I like working with you, but bitching, your west of the 405 attitude is
nauseating. In that entire rant, you said you liked working with me. So you know what? That's the acknowledgement that I needed. So you just
need me to scratch your back a little bit.
I think it's more appropriate that you can say like a thank you every so often or a pat on the back and be like, man, it's good to hear your voice. Like,
so
you were dying in the hospital and you came back from your gallbladder situation, I said you were missed. You were missed by all. You were missed by me, and it's good to have you back in the saddle and bloviating on the air. So, yeah. I think it's important that you know that.
Well, very kind of you, and I believe the quote of Chuck Pagano. He was literally on his deathbed there, and I was there because of you, by the way. So make sure you don't forget that. You asked the famous question, have you ever had a surgery? Have you ever, within, 10 days, I think, something like that, I was being chopped open. Yes. So thank you for that, Gascon. I appreciate
gutted,
that.
Gutted, literally gutted.
Yes, thank you. And so you couldn't do diddly poo in my book. But anyway, listen, so.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We've got just a few things here on the menu. Lean and mean, I'm sure we'll spin into a couple things. We'll get the Florida Man. I have a few stories. I love the Florida Man. The Florida Man's great, and so we have a few Florida Man stories. We'll get to those in a little bit. We have the magical hacksaw and Handyman Maller. We're going to get to these. So why don't we start with Hacksaw, who we had on last week on the podcast, and to say that Hacksaw still has a little bit on his fastball is an understatement, that there's a need to hear the voice of Lee Hacksaw Hamilton, a staple of Los Angeles, San Diego, West Coast radio, early days of sports talk radio. The numbers on this, now, we get real-time feedback on what's good and what's not good and what people are listening to and what people aren't listening to. And Lee Hamilton, when we chatted with him, we went down memory lane. We broke the ice on the high-speed sports wire from Baja to the Canadian Rockies. This was a ratings win for the podcast, Gascon, was it not?
Yeah, it was. I had to go back, and I was just curious because as soon as the number, I tend to check the reports like every other day or like once a week to see like the progression or like what's going and what's not and when people actually download these podcasts, because we did tweak it a little bit going from like a Friday midday to Friday morning, Saturday and Sunday mornings. And then I had to go back to not only your podcast, but then also your show podcast, like the regular overnight show. And so dating back to January 1 of 2019, your highest rated download ever for any audio is the interview time with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
So that broke because the previous record was the Kobe Bryant death show when we were on the night after Kobe had died in the helicopter accident. That had been number one. So Hacksaw is bigger than Kobe.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So you had
Lee Hamilton.
So you had the Kobe Bryant show and then you had the best of with the Kobe Bryant in there. And those two were both topped by Hacksaw.
Yeah, and just for the record, and I'm not certainly looking for a compliment because I would never do that, I had wanted to get Hacksaw on a long time ago, and I thought this would be the perfect platform for that, and someone, I'm not going to name any names here, was disturbed by that, someone was bothered by that, was baffled why I would want to put Hacksaw on the podcast, almost to the point of being agitated. And it was just bewildering to this person that I would want to do that. And it was very odd of, you know, because I'm thinking, well, this, what's wrong with this? This will be fine. No, you know, nobody should be bummed out about this. Hacksaw's a friend and he's a mentor of mine. And but yet there was somebody, and again, I'm not naming any names, might have grown up, might be living west of the 405, who was annoyed by this, was exasperated by the idea that Hacksaw would be on the podcast. And, you know, just makes me pump my chest out a little bit more on. Just saying, you know, some people are maybe ungrateful for the hard work of booking certain people and do not appreciate that, but it does happen.
Yeah. Well, we should acknowledge those people if they are ungrateful, they don't appreciate your hard work, and so we should make sure that they kind of put their nose in their own shit. How
well, I'm sure the people that felt that way will also acknowledge their mistakes and their inaccuracy and say that they screwed up. They dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah.
Like they misjudged the listener to the podcast.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Now, this actually goes against, as you know, this goes against the great author, Dale Carnegie. This goes against what his words were in telling people that they are wrong. Never tell people that they are wrong. Just point out some different information that they can change their conclusion,
well,
their opinion.
Dale Carnegie didn't host a sports talk radio program.
No, he built a multi-million dollar business. That's what what he did. So.
Listen, I read the book. I like the book, but it's not word for word. It's kind of like people read the Bible. They don't follow it word for word, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of debauchery that people do that you shouldn't do in the Bible, but people still do it, right? You shouldn't riot. You shouldn't kill people. You shouldn't fornicate out of marriage. People still do it, right? I mean, pick and choose what's important to them. So that's the way human beings consume literature, books.
Yeah.
You pick and choose what you think is important. Like the stuff I took out of that book were, you know, certain little things to help communicate and make people feel better about themselves. And the little things like that. But it's not a word for word.
Right.
Point by point thing. But for you, it's interesting that would be something that's very important to you. And it's really telling about your personality that you're kind of a typical millennial here. That anybody tells me I made a mistake and I got a problem. I got an issue.
No, that's not true. I'm always
sounds like
I'm always first to acknowledge when I'm in the wrong. I'm always open for debate and for listening, and I feel like I'm pretty open to conversation. I'm not. I think you'd agree with me more that I do more of the listening here than the talking, and so I think that you know, with that being said, I think that's typical of my personality. I'm really an open spirit here. So
this reminds me of that old conversation with the great talk show host from Chicago, Mr. North there, Mike North. And what was his line? Something like, welcome to the big leagues.
Yeah.
You're not in the minor leagues anymore. You're in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And very, very funny quote. But
be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Just to follow up on the Hacksaw thing, I did have a brief conversation with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton. I called him up, checked in with him a couple days after we had him on, and Hacksaw was very kind. He wanted to come on the radio show, and I tried to explain to him we don't really have guests on the radio show. It's just, you know, the podcast thing, and he was cool with that. And he wanted to come back on the podcast. So considering the massive ratings, and we didn't even get to, like, most of the stuff we could have talked about with Hacksaw. We just did, like, the basic outline of Hacksaw's career. But some of the crazy things that happened at the Mighty 690 back in the day, and all the personalities, the people that made it, the people that didn't make it, some big names, some hit and misses at that station, and some of the other drama that went on behind the scenes, which is now all fair game because the statute of limitations has run out on that. And so you don't have to worry about burning bridges or anything like that. In fact, I just saw Howard Friedman, who was the program director when I interned in San Diego, and I've told the story before about Howard, like many of my neurotic nature towards radio, never wanting to take days off, is in large part because Howard Friedman, as a program director in San Diego, when people would take vacation at the end of the year, he'd just fire them. they would never come back. And so so because of that, I was like, I correlated that if you take time off, you're going to lose your job and all this stuff. And so you can thank him for me not taking a lot of time off. That's big. But plus, I just like doing the show anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I did not know that. Now, did he ever take time off?
Howard? Yeah, Howard took vacation. He moved to Idaho, by the way. I don't know if I should say that, but nobody knows who he is. But yeah, that's a pretty generic name. But yeah, he's retired now. He's living in Idaho. But yeah, he took time off. Of course he did.
That's interesting.
So he also had the line that he was, you know, when the board ops would fuck up and they would make a mistake, which would happen occasionally, and he would be quick to fire them. And his line was something to the effect that he could go down to the San Diego Zoo or the train station or the bus station and find somebody that could run the board. That was his argument.
Always nice to diminish someone that's making like $10 an hour part-time.
It was even less back then, man. Not even 10 bucks an hour. You're better off working at Jack in the Box. You make more money.
Yeah.
The benefits are better.
That's fascinating. But yeah, Hacksaw was really good. The beautiful thing about asking a question is he's rather long-winded, and that's from the experience and from his roots of coming from the East Coast to the West Coast. There's certainly a lot to take in, especially since he kind of covered the globe with sports casting, right? Play-by-play and being a reporter and being a host. He did it all. So I like guys like that that can cover everything as opposed to being a one-trick pony. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I loved, to butter his biscuits because he's not here and he won't hear this, but the methodical nature that he would prepare for the show and he had this – everyone's got their own way to do things, but he was so formulated and so disciplined and meticulous with the way that he would get ready for whether it was a Charger game or the talk show. And he brought it up, and it was ridiculous. And there's two different ways to do it. And, you know, you can make beds different ways. You can cut, you know, peel an orange different ways. But he really mastered the willpower part of it. And so it was pretty cool. So thanks for all that download the hacks. So hopefully we'll actually gain some new listeners that will say, wait a minute, maybe I should listen to this going forward. As opposed, and we'll have other guests on, you know, if you want to recommend somebody, feel free to reach out either on social media or there's somebody that maybe somebody in radio like Hacksaw that I used to work with that you would want to hear on. It's the email address is, what is it, dear? It's the, let's see here, the fifth hour, right? Fifth hour, the fifth hour, or real fifth hour. It's real fifth hour. There we go. Eventually I'll get it right.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting. Realfifthhour@gmail.com.
I was going to say, like, part of... See, I personally read that wrong because, like, we had Tony Bruno on, a few episodes ago. And yeah,
Tony did well, too. Tony, the numbers were good.
So I guess for me, it's just, you know, how I'm trying to read the audience, because you have a very eclectic audience and people that listen to your show or people that just listen to the podcast, younger, older. And so I'm trying to get an idea of what people like to listen to. So I was figuring, like, well, if we had Tony on, who is a host and a former host at Fox Sports Radio, like, would that go in line with having another host that's worked in the industry that's close on by it too? So I thought, like, maybe we should spread those out. So I read the green a little wrong. And
That's all right. But now we know. And you don't know what you don't know until you know what you don't know, and now you know what you don't know, so now we know.
Yes.
And going forward, and I'm trying to think of some other ideas. I wish the late, great Joe McDonald was still with us. I'd have Big Nasty on. Joe McDonald, who was a big star L.A. Talk show host. Another guy that influenced me in my career, the Big Nasty, as they called him there.
Yeah.
And I had some radio wars with him. And we went at it a few times. We got in some fights, me and him. But we made up, and we were friends and all that. But... anyway, so yeah, and you are right about the Maller Militia because, as I referenced here earlier in this podcast, there were many people very upset with me who wanted to put a human firewall up around me to protect me from leaving to go just do a one-off type show with Rob Parker, which was yesterday, and people very protective. And they do not want anything. It's almost like they don't want if I were to leave the overnight, I would. These people would be revolting. Gascon. There would be a revolt if I did that.
Yeah, it's a little odd. It's the same station. It's the same network. It's the same platforms. It's just a different time slot. I don't know. I think if anything that people are failing to acknowledge is that by you working with Rob on his show, that directs traffic to your show or to your podcast, which I might add, over the last 60 days, downloads are up 117%.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
That's good. Listen, it's wonderful. So, but yeah, this is not, again, just to clarify, people were comparing me to Blake Snell, saying it was some kind of dereliction of duties. In fact, it's the opposite of that. It is not a defiance of authority. I was contacted by authority. This is not a disobedience. It is obedience, is what it is. If I had said no, that would have been more of a rebellion type situation.
Well,
right?
It's a combination of both, though. You leave your time slot to go to another, but then you bring somebody else in to fill your time slot that people don't like. So it's a two-way conversation that they're having.
And listen, I'm not going to lie. I like my show. I love that I have the show. I would like to do my show. I feel like that's what I should do. But occasionally, from time to time, I fill in. Like I know some other guys that do this all the time, that you know, shift and move around. I know some, not to name names here, but there's some people that do this and love to change day parts and have no problem with it. And I guess it's okay for them because they don't get lampooned and ridiculed from their list. Listeners, which is fine. I mean, that's the beauty of the Maller Militia. Bunch of hoodlums, which I love. So, anyway. All right. Now, a couple other things here on this wonderful, glorious edition of the podcast, the fifth hour with Ben Maller. So, Handyman Maller. Now, I had mentioned this. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I now have everything locked in. Everything has been purchased. Everything is here. And this weekend, at some point this weekend, I am going to do a DIY project. That is right. I will be renovating the remote Maller studio here. I will be paddling my own canoe. And I look forward to a little home improvement project there, a little home studio project. I'm going to get out the toolbox, and I will throw together with some spit and duct tape a brand new look. A brand new look. For the studio, which you say, well, who the hell cares about that? You know, it doesn't really matter. It's a damn radio show. Nobody can see inside. I say no. I say no because of the YouTube videos, which have become more and more popular, growing viewers for those things on the YouTube channel, that now this becomes more important. And so the company thinks it's important. So I will go through, much like Hacksaw does a show very robotically, I will be going through and be touching up, cleaning up, dusting, moving stuff around that you cannot see in the camera, but there will be stuff behind the camera that'll make it. And there's a little more lighting here, and we're going to try to make it less generic brand and more mainstream, because we're going mainstream. So, we are going. It's rather unremarkable right now, but I just threw this together a couple years ago.
That's interesting. Like this is. Like you continue to dress up. I like it. It's,
oh, my God. Here we go again.
No, I'm just acknowledging it because you went from having a show with WEEI where you had to do that stuff from your remote studio. And now
not on camera. It was not on camera. Right. EEI stuff was not on camera. Right. So I just threw together some soundproofing. And Yeah.
So now you get to do this for Fox and for on the YouTube platform. There's different ways that they're able to market and monetize and do it stuff on a bigger level too, which is beautiful. So I'm encouraged by this. Do you have a glimpse of what we can look at, like pennants or pinned up hats or?
Oh, you'll be seeing it soon enough, there, Gascon. I got a couple of things here that I'm working on.
Like, do you have any home? Do you have any jerseys at home that are framed or put into seal that you're going to post up?
Nah, I don't have any framed jerseys. I have a bunch of jerseys from years ago, but they're in the back of the bowels of the closet back there. That's where it is. Do you have framed jerseys, guess?
I have two. I have
Let me guess, your high school football jersey. Have that. Your Al Bundy.
I have a signed John Elway throwback jersey, and then I have a Vin Scully Dodgers jersey that's like says Scully in the back with a microphone.
That's framed. I got a really awesome gift. A listener sent a autographed. This is really cool photo of Sandy Koufax that I have to get an autographed photo of Koufax. I got to get that framed and get a few other things here that I don't have time. I actually want to put some more photos. The only photo I have up in my office here is the one from the Cleveland Cavaliers parade. Why would I have that, you ask?
Yes.
Because that was the famous day that some wackadoodle, this Mama Luke, was walking around in front of millions of people in Cleveland, and he held up a sign with a list of all these haters that didn't think the Cavaliers were going to come back to beat the Golden State Warriors. And I was like the first person. They had my photo. He had my photo, my avatar from Twitter he had on this thing, and I'm like right next to Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith and all these guys, and it was hilarious. I thought it was Photoshop. Somebody sent it to me, and I thought, who the fuck would put me on there with those idiots? I mean, I'm not overnight radio guy. And then, sure enough, it was legit because I saw a couple different photos that were going around, and so I got this thing blown up, and I thought it's hilarious that that this some random person was so upset that they ran around the parade to try to goof on me, and I'm celebrating that. So I have that, but I got to put up the photos from the meet and greets. The Bakersfield one, where I think, did you take that? I don't know who took that, but the Bakersfield, there was one in San Bernardino, the base minor league baseball stuff, yeah. And then the Boston Cask and Flagon, there's a team photo there I want from the Malheur Militia of the Northeast there in the New England states, and then the one from Seattle.
Yeah.
I'd like to get those framed, but I haven't had time, and I'll get to it at some point. So, not that you really care about that. But I am excited about this. I'm looking forward to it. I always love touching up the studio. I've been spending a lot of time in here. I probably spend 15 hours a day in here during the week. And so, it's good. Yeah.
Now, yeah, I was going to say, like, is it really good, though? Because that kind of gives me the inclination that you are expected to stay in there a lot longer than normal. Like, does that mean that you're not returning to the Geico Fox Sports Radio
studios? No. I'll be back. I think, though, going forward, I'll probably do the show from this studio some of the time. Like, what I'm saying? It won't be a full return. It'll be a partial return. But no, I need to go back to the radio station. I will go back to the radio station. We'll make that happen. I got to figure out the logistics. I think we talked about this also in a previous episode of the YouTube videos. I got a pretty, like I said, I got a pretty good system down now on getting that stuff recorded because I got to do it on my own here, which is no big deal. You just click a button and then you stop it and then you have to compress it or whatever. It's really pretty simple. And yeah. You can take somebody out of a dog cage and teach them how to do it. But anyway, so I got to figure that out. And I've, thought a couple ideas on how to do that, but I have not actually done a dry run.
If you want I know that there's a lot of people here, but if you want to ask me, you can lean on me. I think I had a thought of doing something like this a while back, so
I've touched a nerve.
No, I'm just saying, if you need help, I'm here for you. Like, sometimes if you need any audio that's taken out, or if you need help with a monologue, I'm here to help you out, man.
Wow.
You know.
Get a lot of moxie over there. A lot of moxie. You certainly are not lacking in moxie.
Yes. Yeah. But
I want to tell you, though, so the studio, the home studio, so like when I did it for when I was doing stuff at WEI, and that lasted a couple of years. I did that for about 2 years, a little over 2 years, I believe it was. And then that came to an end. And so then I was like, I got all this radio equipment. I don't do the Fox show from here. Like, I did the New Zealand thing. That ended during the pandemic, but I still was doing it with I wasn't even really using the equipment because it wasn't really working right. And then I was like, maybe I should get rid of it, but I'm so happy I kept it. Cause I was like debating, I was like, it's taking up some space and, I don't know if I'll ever use it again. And then, sure enough, it worked out, and it was a decent cost. I was out of pocket and nobody paid. I had to buy all this crap and put it together. So fortunately, I know you're very concerned about my finances. The return on investment, very good, as it turns out now, because of the apocalypse.
Yes,
it's worked out pretty well.
That's good. I'm happy that you made that decision to err on the side of caution, because especially in this downtime, you're going to have downturn. You're going to have a lot of stations that are going to flip from local to national, and they're occasionally going to need fill-in people too. So actually, I talked to some people in Florida earlier in the week about the podcast. And I was talking to them about like bookings and guests and kind of trading guests back and forth between their content and whatnot. And a couple of the guys I talked to that are program directors in Florida, they like you a lot, and they actually have you on their shows, like one in Fort Myers, Florida, another one in Tampa. So
nice. There you go. Yeah, I've gone on the morning show in, I think, in Fort Myers. Gone on that station, that our Fox affiliate there.
Yes.
Some good guys. Actually, one of those guys is sick right now. I hope he's doing all right. I have not gotten an update on that. But, those are good guys. I love, like, the good radio people. You know, those guys are in Fort Myers. They're just, like, regular dudes, you know, radio guys. Mm-hmm. I love radio guys, like, lifetime radio guys. I love, for some reason, these are my people. Okay. They have the same mishigas I have. They've lived the same life I've lived. And so I love that. I love those guys.
And everyone's got the chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. You build up, it's a rhino skin. When you work in, well, any business, but in radio in particular, the rhino skin thing is real. You learn to roll with the punches.
Yes.
You got to build up some scar tissue in life. And if you don't have scar tissue, that's why I'm doing it. You know, I give you a hard time, Gascon, because I want you to build up scar tissue. You're a west of the 405 guy. Oh. You've lived a charmed life. Yeah. I want you to have to learn to withstand some criticism, toughen up a little bit, don't go into a shell and turtle up. And so you're doing better.
Well, I mean, I can go through the scar tissue if you like. I've torn a couple groins. I've torn a hamstring. I've torn
You have
a quad.
More than one groin? What are you, like some kind of cyborg or something like that, Gascon? You torn a couple of groins?
Yeah, left groin torn, right groin torn. Yeah. Hamstring, quad, rotator cuff twice.
You might want to consider some different women to date if you've turned both parts of your groin there. What's up with that?
I was playing hockey, so I did that.
Playing hockey.
Yeah, so I got...
In California, who's playing hockey in California?
I think there's one thing that...
Wayne Gretzky?
You can't disagree with. There's I don't lack grit or intestinal fortitude here, especially working with the likes of... many people at Fox Sports Radio.
So. Would you like to name names here? I feel like you want to name some names here.
Well, I know. I mean, just, not everyone's, as you know, not everyone's easy to work with. So you got to adapt and overcome and sometimes just endure. And so I feel like I'm a teammate.
It's a competitive atmosphere. It's a very competitive atmosphere.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that, if you're a host, I don't think it would be upon you or incumbent of you to straight arm an editor or a producer, someone that's low on the totem pole. So I'm not saying you do that per se, but
wow,
you know,
you're certainly implying that.
I don't.
The listener can hear that.
Well, first of all, you don't have any editors that work on your show, so
that's correct.
Full transparency.
Nothing at all.
You have a technical director, a producer, and an anchor. Like you are bare bones. So
that is true. And at one point, years ago, in the early days of Fox Sports Radio, we had just me and the board op. The board op had to answer the phones and do the technical work, and the updates were recorded.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that was how we got virtual DeSager. If P1s remember the old days, Steve DeSager, who doesn't even work overnights anymore, is below him, but he used to work overnights. And so he would record his updates and leave. And so I would... ask the Sager questions, try to make it, and we put these drops in where he would respond, and it was virtual Steve DeSager.
Oh, that's
and,
pretty good.
It was very, very popular.
Wait, so you didn't have a producer either during your show back in the day?
No, I had no producer. They said, when I started on the weekend overnights, they're like, hey, listen, we don't have a budget. I always love when you hear that.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it, you'll have to produce it. And you'll just have the board op, and that lasted a while, and then something slipped past the goaltender, and then that changed.
Ah, okay.
It's an inside radio term, but something did slip past the goaltender that was not supposed to slip past the goaltender, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, we need to put more people in there. But at that time I was doing an update shift before. I did a few hours of updates. I think it was like 3 or 4 hours of updates. I did the show, and then I did a couple of hours of updates after.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, it was like a 9-hour period of time there.
That's a good idea. Like, if there was an opportunity to do something like that, I think I would go back to the overnights.
Oh, so you're willing to do that if you get to host? You'd be willing.
I think everyone in no matter any walk of life, whether you're in television, radio, if you're a teacher, whether you're a basketball coach, I think you would agree with me that whatever occupation you're in, you always want to advance. You always want to take another step. Like, you don't want to be stuck in just the norm or like whatever the present is, right? Like, that goes for...
Yeah, but you're also, at some point, not that you should be satisfied, but you should not... I mean, you can't always want to do... I mean, at a certain point, you should, if you're at a point where you're successful and you're comfortable and you're doing well...
Yeah.
Like, you're still going to be like, I gotta do something else. I mean, it's like that. What's that guy's name that left The Office? What's his name? Remember when The Office was very popular?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of it, he quit. I forget the guy's name, but like, that would be, hey, I'm being typecast as the guy from The Office, so I need to go do some other stuff. And
yeah,
The Office could still be on the air if he had stayed there. They would still be doing The Office.
Yeah. I mean, Daniel Craig's like that for James Bond. Like, he's over it and he doesn't want to be typecasted as 007, but. But, I'm with that being said, I'm not satisfied yet. So, like, if there was a point where I feel like, man, I'm good with where I'm at, then, yeah, I'd be comfortable. But I think there's always that need to do more or learn more or to interact or to be engaged more. So, I'm not there yet.
You're not satisfied.
I think, yeah, I mean, it's like this podcast, for example. Like, you would agree with me on this. Like, I wasn't content with where our numbers were at towards the tail end of 2019. And so I feel like we should do more. We can do more. And we have done more. And I think that the listeners and the audience have responded in kind. And I think that's a reflection of the effort we're putting in.
Well, it is going well. And some of that, though, is the apocalypse and the fact that there's more people listening now than ever before to Fox Sports Radio. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, that part of it is it's an odd situation. It's an odd year. What's that?
This is our podcast is SpaceX, and here you come, Mother Nature, with the pandemic raining us out and scuttling the mission.
Yeah. And, like, we still get the people upset when we've had doctors on talking about the coronavirus.
You had people that were upset that we had the doctors on?
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is, right-wing propaganda and all. I'm like, okay. I mean, I didn't first of all, your friend, the doctor, he didn't say anything outrageous, I thought. He said, this is real. He's had it. And I mean, Dr. G was fine too. Yeah. I thought he was great, and some people enjoyed him. But yeah, there's certain people that I can't handle. They just get triggered.
That's embarrassing.
Just absolutely triggered.
Those are our citizens. Those are our countrymen that are doing God's work. What the? I don't know. Sorry.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is odd. All right, we have a few Florida man stories here, so we get to that. The Sunshine State, never lacking in providing us with great content for the radio show. So here we go. This is outstanding. A Florida man, Gascon, accused of kicking a chicken like a football. Like, you would kick a field goal so hard, he broke four of the animal's ribs. See, the problem was, you think kicking a chicken, you would assume the chicken was already like frozen, right?
Yeah, yes.
No, this was a live chicken.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. He kicked a live chicken. He was apparently annoyed. He said he was annoyed by the noise the animal was making. So he suddenly turned in to Adam Vinatieri or Martin Gramatica or one of the Kicking Zendejas brothers and decide, you know what? This chicken will not show up, so I am going to see if I can kick a 50-yard field goal. And of all the, like, there's so much chicken consumed. We did a big chicken podcast a while ago.
Yeah.
Of all the things, like, really? Like, I mean, if you want to kick a chicken, go buy a frozen chicken and kick it. Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nothing to show your toughness and to man up like kicking a chicken. Like, the chicken's probably the size of his foot and he's punting that thing like 50 yards. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How old was he? Do you know the age?
I'm looking at his mugshot. He appears to be in his 30s or 40s. Maybe it's hard to tell because he's had a hard life. He's had a hard life.
Like, of all the things to go digital and all the things to go trending is I got arrested for punting on a chicken and now I got a mugshot.
Yeah. That is a, what a way to go down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's fucking, that is up there with embarrassing. Now, if you had, if you had any listeners that would do such a thing, can you name or can you identify with one that would consider doing something like this?
Angry Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious. Angry Bill, he's a loon. He would do that. He would absolutely kick a chicken, a live chicken. He would kick a dog. He'd kick a cow. He'd kick a horse, a zebra, you name it. Go down the list. A rhino. I don't know if he'd kick a rhino because that would come back and kick his ass. But, yeah, there's some.
Now, just imagine this would have gone viral had he kicked a dog. He kicks a dog. This thing is viral. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
Game on.
Like that, it's over. Like, he's done.
Like that
he's
woman
cooked.
In that woman in was it Central Park in New York earlier in the week who was strangling her dog while she was calling 911.
Yeah, and then the guy in Philadelphia threw his headphones. They got in an argument with the radio guy in Philadelphia, and then that whole thing. Here's one: a Bass Pro fisherman in Florida, a tank hopper. Popped up on the news. He told the police to stop trying to catch him. Stop trying so hard to catch him. Apparently, it's illegal. The guy's facing felony criminal mischief charges after Bass Pro said it cost $3,000 to decontaminate the fish tank that this guy was messing around in. He was filmed jumping into the Bass Pro Shop's fish tank. Yeah. You've been to a Bass Pro Shop,
yes,
right? Those
yes.
things are awesome.
Yep.
Those are amazing stores. I mean, that is like going to Disneyland, the Bass Pro Shop. You got everything you want. You got guns, fishing, knives, you name it. And so this guy, he popped up on Facebook originally, this Florida man,
yeah.
And he was taunting the authorities, telling them he'd turn himself in when he was ready. And again, he's facing felony criminal mischief charges for, this is another wonderful thing, for the Bass Pro Shop fishing tank. That is outstanding. Jumping in, that is just great.
That is wonderful. Swan diving into a tank. Like I wonder if he had a statement on why he would do that in the first place, or if he did any harm to any of the fish.
What would a good excuse be on that? What would a good excuse be on that?
I don't. The only thing I could say is either he was on drugs, or he was drinking, or he just thought he can get away with it. He was, you know, because you get kids like millennials. Well, the Generation Z's that will do stupid shit. Like a trend a month ago or 2 months ago was you get these guys on TikTok that would start licking toilets. They do like the coronavirus
oh,
test.
Yeah, so stupid.
It's like, Jesus. Hey, let me go viral. Let me lick this toilet to see if I get coronavirus. And then bang, 4 days later, you get coronavirus. So maybe he was trying to go viral with that and went wrong.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't. There's not a lot to this here. There's just pretty basic. He's hired a lawyer and he's going to fight it. And, you know, it's a tough one to fight.
Yes.
I don't know what your defense is. You were really hot and you needed some water. You were hungry. You saw the fish look good. The fish was flirting with you. And I don't know. Here's a Florida woman story here. This is a good one. And we go now to, Central Florida, where deputies there gave chase to a topless woman shoplifting suspect who made her getaway on a bicycle. It's a 32-year-old woman. She looks like she's 55. She's apparently done a lot of heroin.
Yeah.
I'm looking at her mugshot here. And
black tire heroin, right?
Yeah, not good there. Did not go very well. Anyway, she got stopped. Eventually, she tried to pedal past, and she was stealing flip-flops. Of all the things, she also had a T-shirt, $25 T-shirt, and she was charged with retail theft, resisting arrest without violence. But again, the key part of that, topless shoplifting female there. Because if you're going to go shoplifting, if you're a lady, you do not wear your shirt. Let the boobies free. Let them go free.
Let them fly. Let them fly. Now, if she's aged, like you said, as like a 50-year-old and she's 32, that's probably not a good sight to see. Unless, of course, you're like in Southern California, because then, you know, you're probably a little enhanced.
Yeah, no, this is not easy on the eyes. This is not great.
This is not something you want framed in the Maller studio, correct?
Yes. I think maybe one more. We have time for one more quick one here. Naked Florida man. So we had naked Florida woman or topless Florida woman. Now we have naked Florida man and a suspect while naked, vandalized Miramar High in Miami the entire day. This guy was going around naked. Must have been on the bath salts. They say he left $100,000. A naked man spends an entire day vandalizing a high school in Miami and $100,000 in damage. So they're trying to identify this guy. And they sent out a photo of him, but obviously they cropped off the bottom part, just the head part of that. But he was wearing headphones. He was wearing headphones, so he wasn't totally naked. At least he had some. He was maybe listening to some tunes, you know, enjoying some tunes.
You know what would have been better too is if he was wearing headphones and he was holding one of those old school cassette players.
Yeah, well, these headphones. You know how a lot of the new headphones are wireless and they're the small buds. And you can barely see them in your. These are like the kind. You know when you go to the airport and the people like pointing at the planes which direction to go.
Yeah.
They're like those size headphones. They're massive.
That seems.
It's a good look. It's a
$100,000 to a high school.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Fuck.
How about the fact he was doing it all day? And don't they have a security system at the school that like let them know that stuff's going on? Don't they have that?
Or just the community watch? Like you got to be hearing something that's going on, right? Unless he's in the school buildings and causing damage to the desks and to the windows and maybe to the plumbing. Yeah, but those schools usually will have an alarm system that's tied into the doors. Either way, so fire department should be alarmed or the police at least. That's unbelievable.
It's pretty wild. All right, and we'll put the baby to bed now. And don't worry, got podcast on Saturday, another podcast on Sunday as well. A lot of email. And if you want to follow us on social media, that would be pretty cool. You can email the show, realfifthhour@gmail.com. That's realfifthhour@gmail.com. Twitter, @BenMaller. The Facebook page, Ben Maller Show. Instagram, three different platforms, three different names. Ben Maller on Fox is the official Instagram account for the show and for this show. And at some point, I'm going to be tweeting out this weekend a photo of a book that Doc Mike sent me that he says, if I read this book, I will be brainwashed into drinking my own urine. So I'm gonna check out that book. And you can check me out on Cameo if you want a personalized video message. If you've got a big life event, maybe you just want, just for S and giggles, go to cameo.com and cameo.com and then search my name, Ben Maller, and I would love to do that for you. And how can people reach you, Gascon?
They can get me on Twitter @ScarTissue.
ScarTissue.
Find me on Twitter.
That's your Facebook page, actually. That's your Facebook page.
Find me on Twitter @DavidJGascon and then on Instagram @DaveGascon.
All right. Have a great day. We'll catch you next time.